Today we'll be in conversation with the famous Alibaba. He is currently the head of operations in East, Central and Southern Africa for Giants of Africa. For those of you who don't know Giants of Africa, please check them out. They are doing amazing basketball stuff across the region. Abel is also an NBA scout for the Toronto Raptors. For those of you who know Hashim Thabet, the fastest African to play in the NBA, Abel scouted him. He is an MVP player. He's won a couple of championships across the region, in Kenya especially, where he had his pro career. He played for USIU. He played for KCB, for Cooperative Bank. When they won their first of the four titles, he is currently the Storm's coach. He's coached Masaku Sparks, Coop Bank Ladies, and a couple of All-Star teams. Today, our conversations will be about some of his favorite Kenyan players, some of his memorable moments, and what can change Kenyan basketball and what he thinks is ailing the league. Karibuni to the Afrosport podcast. Glad to have you here today. So let's talk basketball. Like, what got you? Why did you start playing basketball?
Well, I had a good friend when I was in secondary school that loved playing basketball, and I was a soccer player. So it's ironical, I was on the soccer team for my class. We had those intramurals, like interclasses, and then we reached the finals, we won the finals. But I didn't get to play in the finals. When we reached the finals, they decided that we need to reinforce with some other players. They moved us off the team, got some two guys who were on the national team who were in the same school to play. And when we won, people like myself who had contributed the most to the team, especially me personally, financially, I did. I paid for everything, for the licenses at the time. And they decided that when they won the prize, I don't deserve anything on the prize. So it's a very weird story, because I decided on that day I am not playing soccer anymore. I said, I'm not playing this sport. These people don't have any integrity and I'm not doing it. And that's how I stopped playing soccer. And so my friend was like, let's play basketball. I've always told you to come play with me. So I went to his place and I said, let's start playing basketball. I just started playing with guys in school. And then there were some of my neighbors who were in the basketball academy. And they're like, yo, you're a good player. Why don't you join us in this academy? It's not far. After classes, we go there, we have a coach, etc., etc. I said, all right, why not? And so I joined them. The team is called Espoir. So I joined them. It was a coach. He had about 30, 40 kids, boys and girls. We used to just train, just all the basketball fundamentals. So I learned really how to play basketball there using the fundamentals. But initially, I was just a street baller. But yeah. I was just good. I was good from the beginning I started. I don't even understand how that worked, because I never really learned basketball like many people. Like, I didn't travel, I did not know how to shoot, I did not know how to make a layup. I just knew how to do all of it immediately, and that's why these guys brought me over there to the academy. Yeah. And but then there I polished all of my skills and understood the game better, and yeah, that was how that story started in 1992.
And like, what was your experience like when you started becoming good at it? Did you fall in love with it, or is it something that came along the way?
It was instant. I was instantly a superstar in the whole high school. It was instant. Across town, I was known everywhere. You know, I loved it. I fell in love with the game because I was really good at it. I could really entertain people. People used to literally come around the court to just see me playing. I can recall some friends telling me recently how when they were in the hood, because we didn't stay far from the school, and that's where we used to scrimmage. So when I'll change and I walk up, they said, no, that was their cue. If they see me walking up, they're coming up. Even some opponents and everything. It was just always interesting. My personality has always been the same on the court. I'm a trash talker.
Yeah.
So I've always attracted love and hate in the same measure.
Yeah.
Some people love to hate me. Some people, you know, it's just always been that way. So guys would come out there for that. I fell in love with the game immediately. There was no turning back.
Yeah.
But ironically, I kept playing soccer, but I wasn't really playing soccer in the same city anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I'll go visit my grandparents, then I'll play soccer there.
Yeah.
with my home friends. They didn't even know I play basketball. They discovered that 2.5 years later.
Yeah.
One day when I just saw a hoop next by, I'm like, oh, let's go play. They're like, do you know how to play basketball? I'm like, I'm crazy. So, yes.
And your most of your professional career in basketball as a player, has it been in Cameroon or in Kenya?
I can say the highlight of my career is in Kenya. In Cameroon, I was only coming up. So in 2003 was really going to be like my best season. I was leading the team. We had had big victories against the champions and we were ranked first in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I left the team right there. Everybody was angry because we really had a season where we could win. We could write history for our club. Because the club I was playing for is the same one I started learning basketball from.
Yeah.
That academy was opened in 1991. I'm the second batch in 1992. So we have never won. And we had won at the juniors under 18, but we wanted to win at the seniors. So my career in Cameroon was only coming up. I had gone for national team selections, played national team A versus B. I was on team B.
Mm-hmm.
We were the young guys. I was 18 at the time, 18, 19. So we've done, I did that. But it's in Kenya and East Africa that really I blossomed. And it's quite normal. I mean, a player's prime is 27, 28, 29. It's not before. Yeah. I came to Kenya, I was around 23, 24. It's not the same thing. So it's normal that my career blossomed in Kenya.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your favorite all-time games?
Well, one is the finals in Uganda. In Uganda, the Abling tournament, where I was MVP. That finals was crazy because we were 7 players. We didn't even prepare for the tournament. We were facing relegation in Kenya. We won our last game to survive relegation. So we were just like exasperated. A very crazy season. We said to give ourselves a break. Let's go to Uganda and have fun.
Yeah.
Then while having fun, they said there was prize money and we decided we needed the prize money to have more fun. So we decided to turn it up a gear and it was 7. And 7-man army, we played the finals against Sutherland Power, the national team select. And we beat them. I had 34 points by halftime. 7 threes at halftime already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was me against that team. It was just crazy shooting from everywhere. So that's like one of my favorite games. Another one of my favorite games is in Kenya. Two, actually, they're in Kenya. One was against KPA in Mombasa. So when I came to Kenya in 2003...
Yeah.
Everybody knew KPA. They were the beasts. They were a tough team. The George Paywas and the rest. And one thing that was important for KPA was KPA didn't lose at home.
Yeah.
They were not losing at home. And they had this old wooden floor where there were some dead spots where they'll direct you to, etc. So the ball doesn't come up, but they know it. So they're diving already while you're dribbling. There was no 24-second clock. And so I'm there with USIU, and they've heard a lot about me in Nairobi and the things I've been doing with teams. And so they say, okay, you will see fire. So I remember that before that game, I had spoken to one of USIU's key players, a lady called Lillian Owor. I was telling her about how she has to psych for the ladies, the Flames game. Like, you know, have to be like Michael Jordan. He uses the opponent's crowd, their booze, to motivate himself, to fuel himself.
Yeah.
So it was very funny because by the end of the third quarter, I had scored 7 points.
Yeah.
So one bank 3-point that I fluked, one layup and 2 free throws.
Yeah.
I was 1 for 15 on the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And we were down 16 points.
Yeah.
2 minutes played in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So Leon asked me, "Ben son, what happened to Michael Jordan's energy?" I'm like, "Calm down." So with 8 minutes to go, I said, "Enough is enough." I turned to my defender. I told him, "Look, you heard about me. You heard about Alibaba, because that was my nickname.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how I got that name. That's one of my memorable games." And I was like, "You'll see who Alibaba is right now." I said, "We're about to win this game."
Yeah.
He burst out of laughter. His teammates were reminding a friend of mine the other day about that story, that they burst into laughter. They even sat on the floor like, is this guy normal? Does he know which team this is? We're in Mombasa. There's no 24 clock. We're going to spin this ball here. You're going to lose. You're down 16. 8 minutes to go. Nothing you can do. I scored 27 straight points in that fourth quarter. 27 straight points. It was possession after possession. Still recall the referees were Juma Kent and Vitalis Gode. They can tell you that story. It was basket after basket. By the time I was on like the 16th straight point, the kids of Mombasa, I know the kids in Makande always up, they were high-fiving me. They were when I scored, they were standing and high-fiving me. Like, this is crazy. So I had those 27 points. I ended up with 34 points. And like I had like 27 points in that fourth quarter and three other assists on Yoni, my teammate.
Yeah.
We scored all the points in that quarter and won the game by 8 points.
Oh, wow.
KPA couldn't believe that. So
what switched you on? And is it something that you experienced you've experienced in different games? Did you just tell yourself, I need to do this?
By nature, look, my favorite player of all time is Michael Jordan. I studied how he played. I listened to a lot of his interviews. It was always that mentality to me, is you got to take over the games. So I've always believed in my talent. So when the time comes, and my teammates always believed in me. They always knew that. So even in that game, they were like, keep shooting. The coach, who was also a teammate, Charles Saleh, was like, keep playing. Keep shooting. It's coming. So I have that mentality. Once you push me that way, I stay focused. So that's one of those most memorable games. Another one was against Ulinzi, but we lost it here in Nairobi.
Yeah.
But what was memorable was that we were down 21 in the third quarter, 3 minutes played. And then just like that game, Rocky was telling the story to my friend the other day. They told me, hey, are you going to start playing for us or what? And I had like 20 straight points. End of third quarter, we're down three. Start of fourth quarter, just right after half court, I just took one step, shot over Sano, tied the game. With like 3 minutes to go, we're up eight. Nobody could believe that in Nyayo. But then there was a brawl that ensued, a fight with 17 seconds. We're up two. I still hold the referees, you know, accountable because Ulinzi refused to play the game for 20 minutes because they ejected their player. The rules don't allow that. After 3 to 5 minutes, if you guys don't come back on the floor, the game is called off. We're up 2 points. It's over. They don't want to play.
Yeah.
They refused to play, but the referees were biased and allowed them to sit there and not play for 20 minutes and then decide that we play the game. We continue the game after 20, 25 minutes. That's not legal. That's not in the rule book. So eventually they came and scored, tied the game. Mugambi tied the game, went to overtime, and we lost.
So the refereeing, that's a topic that we need to talk about extensively.
The last thing I want to tell about is the one where I got the name Alibaba.
Yeah.
It was a tournament in Cameroon and I was playing. And just like these games, we're down. Just playing for team, we're down 20.
Yeah.
Then I just told my teammates, give me the basketball, and I started shooting everything from everywhere. It didn't matter where I was. Falling out of the court, everything was just dropping. Then the guy's like, this guy's a magician. Like Alibaba, like in the 40 Thieves, like they can't catch him. Like that's how. So this guy is called Eric. He's a friend of mine. He just gave that name. So all the other guys started calling me like that, and then it just started going like that. And just like Alibaba.
I actually thought you got this nickname from Kenya.
No, I came with it. So when I came here, the guy who introduced me to USIU, a Cameroonian, also Coach Basog.
Yeah.
He's the one who made sure. He's like, no, listen. Your normal name is common. If they call you Abel, I can mistake you for anybody.
Yeah.
We got to use your nickname in Kenya. Such that whenever you're going to do things, they'll remember you. So he introduced me to people as Alibaba.
Yeah.
And then you used to have warm-up tops. So my warm-up top was written Alibaba at the back.
Okay.
So now you could easily know Alibaba.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to identify to that. If you say Abel, there are a million Abels. I have to start describing. It's too long.
Yeah.
If you say Alibaba, we just know who that is. Yeah. So that's how the name was used.
What's your worst game?
My worst game. Do I have a worst game? My worst game.
Worst games season?
Worst season was the one that we were almost relegated with USIU. That was like my worst season because every game we lost by less than five. It was very frustrating. Very frustrating. Some games the ref just made the wrong call. Like, we got a ref, names withheld, who called the 3 seconds on a fast break on a game winner. We steal the ball here and throw the break, and he says my teammate was in the 3 second zone. There is no 3 second when we are here on defense. How can he be? He can stay in the paint if he feels like. The ball is not on that side. And you know, referee's mistake is final.
Yeah.
So those are some of the games that are really, you know, that I look back and I feel sad about. One thing I feel sad about is when I joined USIU, they were playing the University League, and the coach at the time refused that I play, yet I could have helped the team win, and we lost in the finals. He claimed that the rule didn't allow me to play when I just joined. That was not true. There was no such rule. I was a student. Yeah. I came when the season is on. Doesn't matter. There was the quarterfinals. I could play.
Yeah.
But he refused. And so even my teammates still held that against him, you know, in regards to you stopped us from winning a big finals that was in Nyayo Stadium with a lot of people. That was really important. And then another game that disappointed me with the same coach, he made us walk out of a semifinals game of the university games. We play against KCT. We're even up. He claims that they're using non-students. We're like, but he doesn't care. We want to beat them that way. They have been playing all season. Those guys, Dan and all the rest. We said they have been playing. We don't care. We are men. We are saying the way they are, we want to beat them. Last year, they beat the guys. I wasn't playing. The guys are like, he's here now.
Yeah.
We're going to get them.
Let's do this.
Coach quit, made an executive decision, put us in the school, in the university bus, and said no game.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So, you've, let's talk about coaching. You're a very good coach. You're a very offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
You make really good players out of different seasons, different players. Like, you've made national team players.
Mm-hmm.
What influenced you as a coach, and who are some of the coaches that made you a better player and a better coach?
Initially, is my coach. The coach I started playing basketball with, Mr. Fomite in Cameroon, because he's a fundamentals guy. His basketball philosophy is only fundamentals. That's all we used to do. Jump, stop, jab, crossover, pass, fake, pass. He would be in your ears, and that's all we do in practice. We would run fast breaks in the middle of a game, and he's like, jump, stop when you catch the ball. The whole stadium knew him. They called him jump, stop. They're like, your coach is always saying you jump, stop. So, and even back home, he's always been the national team coach for the juniors. He's also the guy who has the most players that have been going to the national teams. So I got that from him. That's how he coaches. Then I have one of my best friends called Derek Quinnett, American. He gave me perspective, an American approach of the game. I met him at the American school in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play with the guys. I wasn't there. I was in university, but I was coaching and playing them. So when he came in as a coach, he's like, listen, you're an older guy. You don't need to play with these kids. But come and be my assistant coach, and I teach you how to coach. So I used to do everything, scouting reports, go scout teams, study tendencies, come back and give feedback, sit, write reports. So I learned the game more through him that way. We used to have a lot of sessions, sitting down and looking at stuff. So that's when I got that whole American perspective of seeing the game. After that, it was me watching things. My dad was a coach, a basketball coach. He was a coach since he was 23 years old, even coached with the national team. So I had all of that, and then I liked watching videos. My favorite coaches were Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. I liked their mentality and their approach to the game. So, and their basketball philosophies. So those are the guys internationally that I respected. When I came to Kenya, I loved the late coach Smarts. I thought he was very, very brilliant. His ability to read games was amazing. And so I used to have a lot of time with him in Nyayo Stadium just talking. Whether my team has played, whether I played as a player, whether we're analyzing other people's games, we always sat and spoke a lot about basketball with Coach Smarts. That's the guy that influenced me the most here locally.
Rest in peace to Coach Smarts. Who are some of the players that you've played with and you think were really good players, like Kenyan, say, your top five?
Without hesitation, the first player I would talk about that I saw in Kenya that I thought was amazing was Dan Okwiri. Dan, he could have played professional basketball. His issue was discipline. I played on the same team. I played against him. He was one of my biggest rivals. We had like some of the best games in Nyayo Stadium and in university games, etc. Our rivalry was always entertaining to everybody. Then we were teammates twice in USIU and in KPA. It was always a spectacle to see us play. I think he was an amazing player. He's... as a Kenyan, I rank him very highly. Another guy I thought that had it all, Richard Osano. Unfortunately, wrong decisions, didn't put his career in the right way. But Richard Osano is actually the first player I saw that made me call the agents so that I can send players to the States. But he's the only player that didn't go to the States. But that was his own doing. It was nothing. He refused to go. He disappeared. He was supposed to go to another player called Back, and Back went. He disappeared, so he didn't go to the interview, didn't do anything. His I-20 came, we had it. He went to Oman.
Wow.
Yeah, he made the decision to go for short-term glory, which is little monies. could have had a professional career. Legit 6'8 guard, amazing talent. Richard Osano. So amongst the, I'm talking about the Kenyan players, what I've seen. Yeah. I don't want to say Peter Kiganya. I don't think I want to measure him to Kenyan players. He's a Kenyan, but I think he played in the States. He's amazing. He's the best player that I've seen, like best Kenyan player that I've ever seen playing, hands down. Like, I think his basketball IQ, he's a great mentor to me. Even in the game, he helped influence, again, also the way I coach. He too did it. Because of a lot of experience that he brought from the US and the things that we shared, he opened my mind towards certain things about the game and approaching it, how to build a team and stuff. He's amazing. So I don't want to compare him. Cliff, who is in Qatar. Cliff, amazing guard. Guys that I can't forget. Again, guys who had amazing battles with. Remember my first win against Kop? He was playing. He had 37, I had 42 points. That was the first time we ever beat. Because that's one of my best games that I played here in Yayo Stadium. And it was our first victory against Cooperative Bank and the late Coach Smarts. He was totally frustrated. Other players. There are guys that I really enjoyed seeing. I thought they were versatile. There's a guy called Utwal. I don't know if you heard about him. He was like a 6'6 utility guy. He could do everything. 1 to 5. If you stress him, he says, I'm bringing the ball up, and he could do it. He could do anything with the basketball.
And some of the best ladies, lady players.
Kenyan players, right?
Yeah, Kenyan.
Best lady Kenyan players. Here, I'm going to first of all start with the bias. One of the best female players that I've ever seen in my eyes, and according to me, is the best player and is still the best post player in Africa, is Sarah Chan. I still think she's the best. I don't think anybody's better than her. I watch international games. I've seen her dominating those people. She's amazing. She didn't go to WNBA. That's more of connection. To get to the NBA and WNBA, apart from your talent, you must know the right people who introduce you to the right people who open the right doors. So her, I give her that shout out first because that's the best female player that I've seen play with my own eyes. Enough. And I've had the chance to coach. Best Kenyan players that I've come across the years, they're different. I'm going to give a bunch of names. Samba, I think, is amazing. She, since the time she came from high school and we brought her to USIU, we knew she was there. Hilda Ndasi, we call her the Black Mamba. She, even at her age right now, she's still the top scorer in the league when she starts playing.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'll go generation-wise, okay?
Yeah.
So that generation, there's Samba, Hilda, Emma Nyakweba. That's a player that I think... When she started playing on national team, there was no other player who took her position. Like, literally, Emma gave birth, only took like a month maternity leave, and Kenya team need to be assembled to go to Mozambique, and they brought her in immediately, and she played and was a starter. Is that, that's how good she was.
That's amazing.
Yes. So, Emma Nyakweba.
Silale,
of course, is amazing. She's like Kiganya to me. It's like those players, she played in the States, so she has a different training. That's why I don't want to really... Her, Sarah, Kiganya, I'm giving them shout out. They're definitely way up there, but I'm trying to talk about homegrown only.
Yeah.
There's a lady called Majeng. I don't know if you ever got to see Majeng. Majeng could have been pro. She's 6'2"-ish.
Yeah.
She could play everywhere. And she was a fighter. She's that player who says, give me the ball, I'm taking pictures. And she plays.
She was a Westbrook.
Yeah, she was crazy. And she was very hard-nosed. Angela Lucivia, that I coach, I think whatever she does is amazing. I think to play at her age, the way she plays, the energy that she puts on that floor, and the minutes that she still logs in, is amazing. If anybody who doesn't know, when you are above 35, 36, 37... and you can still play 35 minutes per game and fight with Premier League players and dominate, then you're something special. You're a physical specimen.
Yeah.
You know, so I got her there. Amongst the vets, there was a lady back then. There was Gladys Wanyama, who went to the States.
Yeah.
There was Millicent, who played for KPA. Yeah. I don't know if you, I think you remember Millie.
Yeah.
IQ, very high IQ. In the new generation, I'll tell you, Melissa, I think she's still just not completely aware of her talent, but even as Coach Cliff says, she's a combination of everything that you want in a player. She's fast, she's strong, she can shoot, high basketball IQ, she can pass the ball.
She was great as well.
Yes. You know, so
she can grind.
Exactly. So she has everything that you want in a basketball player. You know, it's just with the day she realizes completely that she'll do it. Felmas Koranga, like I told you, amazing player. Natalie, point guard for KP, amazing. There's no other one apart from her right now. You know, those players that really marked me in this new era. Betty Kananu, you know, we all know she's a scorer. That 3-point shot, you all know, she sees the rim, it's money. You know, Celine Okumu,
yeah.
It's a scorer. You know, it's hard to play. I used to like Sandé a lot. Yeah. Evelyn Nora, who went to the U.S.
Yeah.
Because she was a fighter. She's like Draymond Green. She's the heart of a team. She would lead you guys, you know, to that success, you know. So for that generation, like maybe current national team, then upcoming, I'll tell about upcoming players. I think this girl called Carol, who's the point guard at Nazarene now. She was in Riyadh last year.
Yeah.
Who was from these programs in Eastland, some Kyole and the rest. I think she's amazing. I think in the right setup, she can do wonders for herself. I think Edna Kola can become something. Edna, who is in Strathmore.
Yeah.
I think she can become something. Who else is there? There's a post player, Delima. I think Delima can be a good player. If she joins the right team to elevate herself, right now she's doing very well with her team, but now she needs to go up. She needs to move up the level. She's not at that of that level. She should be the next big man for Kenya team. She has the right footwork, strength, size. She has a very good shot. Like, she has her mechanics already there. It's already there. It's just now she needs to do it more regularly and then get herself working on it. And then she'll really be the, in my humble opinion. Then some players that you have, people haven't gotten a chance to see, like Celia, that's from USIU.
Yeah.
Her mom is Makungu, who works at KPA. She's a big man.
Yeah.
She used to play for KPA, played for Railways, won championship with Telkom and KPA. So she has a mother's blood, tough, hard-nosed player. I think she's a player of the future for Kenya, like Becky Nkatha, mm-hmm. who will remain a big fixture for Kenya in the future. So, yeah, I think in and out, in regards to lady players, that's where I rank it. That's where I see it.
Kenyan basketball, you can't live off basketball in Kenya as a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take about that?
Well, the real issue about that, it's to some people, it's like the theory of the chicken and the egg, but there's only one reality. Money comes when people show up, okay? So we can't have money in basketball, if we have no spectators. So the first thing is, teams should take more responsibility in bringing their own friends to watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a team from Umoja, let's say. Umoja is a big estate.
Yes.
But Umoja fans cannot fill Nyayo Stadium when Umoja is playing. It beats the purpose. Umoja children in Umoja, in a community court, in the middle of houses, where there are kids, where there are people. They should have created a fan base that should be able to watch their games. How does soccer operate? Where do golf fans come from? Where do FC Leopards fans come from? Etc., etc. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, teams need to pick up the slack of bringing their friends to the stadium. If each player invited 3 people only to watch their games, we will have people in the stadium. Now, when we start having people in the stadium, it means they pay gate collection. Okay. But gate collection is not really where the money is. When people are in the stadium, sponsors see that people are interested in the sport. So now they plug in money to make sure that the athletes become better. People talk about rugby. It's funny. I was in Kenya in 2003. Rugby wasn't popular like that.
Yeah.
Rugby became popular after the first That Safari Sevens, where they invited the Nigerian artists and all the rest, Kuti and all those guys, and they had a concert and a village concept. It was through entertainment that rugby got people to the venue. They came to watch the concert and eat the food and have drinks, and then watch the game.
Yeah.
So you have to create that atmosphere where people just show up initially without really knowing the game. They came for other things.
Yeah.
Even if they watch NBA games, it's entertainment. We need to have entertainment around, and then I'll watch the game eventually. Because sponsors pay for presence. They just want to know how many people came to your
SIU. For the audiences, yeah.
It was the audience. Who came to your SIU?
Yeah.
There were 4,000. If there are 4,000 every weekend in your SIU, then I'm putting money. There's 4,000 people that can see me and that can push
visibility
to other people. Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
If each one of them just speaks to 5 people, That's 4,000 times 5. That's 20,000. And we keep pushing. So that's where it is. Corporates can't just put money for nobody to be sitting in the bleachers.
And like, do you think the incentive to it, so say for example the national team players, and we've had different conversations everywhere about them not being paid, you know, and you know there's the incentive that if I'm well taken care of, I have insurance, I have this and this, then you know I'll give more, right? What about that?
Well, that all comes from program, from planning. You need to have a plan for a national team. What's the plan? When are we training? What is going to happen? What are the objectives of this national team? How are we selecting these players? Based on what? What are we trying to accomplish with this team? Okay? Once you have that on paper, then you're going to be able to attach a budget to it. Once you're able to attach a budget to it, then you can go to the right ministry or the government offices to raise those funds. If you don't have all those things into place, it's very difficult to make a financial request. It's based on what? What are you trying to achieve? You want me to give you money for what exactly? And those players you want me to pay, who are they? Can they even play basketball? How did you select that team? Is that one of your fake teams where you have your nephews? So it's an African problem. We have to do things the right way. Do the right things. Have the right structure on paper that allows a sponsor to be able to see what's going to happen. Then you can ask for money and raise funds. But to the players who complain about money, it's ridiculous to me because you don't get paid in your clubs. And you don't even train like somebody who deserves to be paid. How many players in our league enter the gym 3 times a week?
Most 5.
Exactly. You see? How many players here go and put up real shots every day to work on their craft? That's exactly what I'm saying. It is less than 5% of the league. So you want us to feel that you guys are serious. When you don't do the serious things, you're going to go and play Uganda, Rwanda, teams where guys work out on a daily basis and work on their craft. If I'm giving you money, what am I giving you for? Just for you to go and have fun, just so you receive my money. So we have to start from ourselves. Improve on your game. Show your own effort towards the game. Then that's how it comes. If tomorrow we bring professionals to play, Tyler, Bush, and we'll pay them. Why? Because they work on their craft and we can see it.
Yeah.
So now we need to give them incentive because of what they do.
Okay, so there's been an improvement in the league throughout the years?
Not really. The league is fizzling because of dilution of talent. I personally still have this problem. We cannot have that many teams in this league. We don't have that much talent to have that many teams. You need to have fewer teams. You need to just have 8 teams in the Premier League. You need to encourage teams to recruit. You need to encourage players as a federation, even find a way, because we're still in that level. You need to encourage players to move to better teams, right? Like, for example, as I say, Carol is next in line, national team. You got to encourage her to go to a better team than playing for her current team, which is African Nazarene. It's not her level, okay?
Yeah.
You got to discourage certain big teams of taking all of the talent. You cannot be a team because your name is so-so and so. You have 3 potential national team point guards in your team. It means 2 of them are not going to improve.
That's true.
It means 2 of them we've just lost. Now we got to start all over again to look for players. But we had them. But you kept them. You benched them. Spread them out. When you spread them out, and that comes from mentorship. We don't have a mentorship program. So players are allowed to be derailed from small monies. I'll give you 1,000 allowance. What are you going to do with 1,000 in reality? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So they're luring you, yet you're young, you're 23, 24, you don't need 1,000. You need to go in the right team if you're talented so that you can elevate your level, such that you can actually make real money out of it in the long run because of your popularity, etc., or something, right?
Yeah.
So that's what needs to happen because it's too many teams. We have 13 ladies team. We don't have 13 ladies good teams in Kenya. We have 3 teams or 4 that are good in the ladies league.
Yeah.
But we have 13 teams. And you're saying we have a big league. No, we don't need that. We needed 6 teams in the Premier League, ladies. And then all those other talented players just jumping.
Okay, last question. Who do you think is going to take the championship in Kenya this season, both the ladies team and the guys team?
It's all tricky and it's too early to call because players are still moving. You still have about, in the ladies, you have about 8 very good players who are unattached right now. They have no teams. They're still like, I don't know, Ntandawapi. And for the guys, a lot of the teams have changed structure. So we have to see how fast they'll gel. Equity, I'll give you names. Equity has done a good job of recruiting. KP has done a good job, has not done a good job for now.
Yeah.
And Ulinzi has done a good job. Thunder has done a good job, right?
Yeah.
So let's see how they all gel, who gels faster, and how they get themselves rolling, okay?
Yeah.
In the ladies, Equity has changed, let's say that way. KP has changed too. I don't know if I can call their recruits any elevation. I don't see that Equity has improved with their recruitment. I think they're the same level because of what they've lost,
yeah,
right? Because currently they don't have Samba who's playing. Hilda is no more in Equity. So when you don't have those two, no matter who you've brought in, you don't elevate. What's I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're still as good as you were. Yes, you brought in Melissa, but we just remain the same. We've lost two important players. We've only brought one. The other ones are too young to influence the game. Like Ayodi Daisy, she's too young to influence the game. So I don't think they've improved. KPA last season, after Felmas, Betty and Celine left, were not the same. Their recruitments to me are not an elevation. They're good players, they're potential. You know, they have the girls from KU, Rachel, Diana, but are they, is Diana Felmas?
No.
Is Rachel Betty? No. Right? So they're not really better. You get what I'm saying? They're not really better than how they ended the season. So that's what I'm saying. We have to see how it pans out. And these other eight women that are unattached, where they go, they could shift the balance to make somebody else enter that conversation where the two of them are, right?
Yeah.
But of right now, the two of them are just by themselves. Then the rest of the pack, Storms, all of us, still trying to figure it out what the season's going to look like, right?
Okay. So I hope we have this conversation when it's almost the playoff time. And thank you for having us today.
Cool. You're welcome, man. And thanks for having me. And, you know, good luck with what you're doing. Good work trying to promote sports and basketball. It needs a lot of this. Talk about the game, you know, be open about it. Maybe some of these things that we talk about can help people see things in a different perspective and improve on the game.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers.